I am. The demigod said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names, we offer our respectful obeisance unto you. No purport, next. Yate gatinam disrinam ishtu paramam padam navachino visargasya datar veditum arhati. Translation. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation, how do you say this? Condemnation in hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dham. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisance. Purport. An inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of God. Everyone is under the jurisdiction. What is this? Angels. Jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benediction to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be promoted to the heavenly planets because they have no information of Vaikuntha Loka. Srimadvacharya quotes the following verse: Devalokat Pitrilokat Nirayachchapi Yatparam Tisripya Paramam Sthanam Vaishnavam Vidusham Gati. There are different planetary systems known as Devaloka, the planets of the demigods, Pitriloka, the planets of the Pitas, and Niraya, the hellish planets. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha, he achieves the ultimate resort of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas has nothing to do with the other planetary systems. Translation again. The demigod said, O Supreme Personality of God, that you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names, we offer our respectful obeisance unto you. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dham. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisance. Mukham karoti vachalam bangum nagayate grimat kirtanam hamadeshi gurum dinotaranam Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gora Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we have the situation where the demigods, while there were big troubles, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. Because Brita Surava appeared already? Yeah. Therefore. because we know the history. this great demon was produced in this big sacrifice in order to fight against the demigods. So therefore we can see that the demigods they are devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Vishnu. We can see those living entities who are devoted to the Supreme Lord, when they are in big trouble, they pray to the Supreme Lord, they approach the Supreme Lord and asking for help, for shelter, or so that they become released from the suffering condition. On the other hand, the demons, the asuras, they never approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They fight on their own strength. How do I say? Yeah. They ignore completely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and their mentality is that I am, or we are independent, and we are very strong, and we have to work very hard and fight very expert, and then we will conquer all the enemies, conquer the whole world, and we will defeat, especially demons. I think we will in this way we'll defeat the demigods. So of course when they are trying very hard and desiring to conquer the universe or fight fight against the demigods, then also Krishna will fulfill their desires and give them power, strength. But the demigods, the devotees of the Lord, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we can see that the demigods, they are not pure devotees. Amongst the devotees, there are many different levels. There are materialistic devotees, the Prakrita Bhaktas, neophyte devotees, then the mixed devotees, and then the pure devotees. And amongst these, there are again many, how to say, divisions. So, in general, we can see the demigods, because they have all facilities to enjoy the life, to enjoy life in heaven, and enjoy like anything, have a very, very long lifetime. They become not diseased, and they are very strong and beautiful and very learned, and it's said that they enjoy thousands of times more than people here on the earthly planet. So therefore, although they are devotees of the Lord, that means they worship the Supreme Lord and accept that he is the main living entity, that from him everything comes. He is pervading everything, and he maintains everything, and he destroys everything. And at the end, when everything is destroyed, all living entities and all the different elements and energies, they will rest within him. So the demigods, they accept this, that he is the supreme possessor of all planets, and the supreme enjoyer and the best friend of all living entities, they accept this, and for this they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pray to Him, and praying also for liberation. And but we can see that because they are in this situation where they can enjoy life like anything, they have sometimes also a hard time to remember Krishna, to remember the Supreme, and be fully, and in this way be fully engaged in devotional service. Sometimes they become also proud, even Indra. We have many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam that Indra becomes very proud and even challenges the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially when we have the description in the Krishna book, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago as a cowherd boy and performed many wonderful pastimes, then and especially when Krishna as this cowherd boy proclaimed that he is the Supreme and all the Yagyas are meant for him, and they do not have to worship the demigod separately, they can worship him or go over downhill, and so then Indra, he could not believe that this cowherd boy was the supreme lord, was the source of all source. Also Lord Brahma had some difficulties to accept this, and so we can see that these demigods, they are sometimes bewildered. But actually we have a pure devotee of the Lord, unalloyed devotee, he's never bewildered. He's always connected with Krishna, and he's have taken shelter from the to the superior energy, Mahatmana Tumam Partha Tavim Prakritim Ashrita, and therefore he is guided by Krishna, and he always is illuminated with transcendental knowledge by Krishna, so that he can understand very clearly his position and the position of the Supreme Lord and what he has to do in order to please the Supreme Lord, what is his constitutional position in life. So with other words, we can see that the pure devotees, the unalloyed devotees, they're never bewildered, and they also, they do not approach the Supreme Lord for in order that they help them, for instance, like the demigods approach the Supreme Lord so that they, in order to fight against this heavy demon, this Britrasura. But actually the motivation was not very pure. The motivation of the demigods was that they can remain on the heavenly planets and enjoy life undisturbed. Of course, they simultaneously also worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, offering respect and prayers and some yagyas, some service all the time. But simultaneously, they were motivated to live a peaceful life in heaven and enjoy like anything also. So, but the pure devotees, they are not motivated like this. They only pray for Krishna, or pray to Krishna, or approach Krishna in order to help them, that they can render unalloyed devotional service to Him, to His lotus feet, in order to become completely purified, and also becomes or remains completely unaffected from the modes of material nature, also with the motivation, so that they can render unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, so that they can please Krishna, serve Krishna, and become established in their constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme. So on this we can see the problem in this story here, in this situation, was that the demigods they pray to the Supreme Lord to help them, in order to help them so that they can enjoy life in heaven. But the problem was this so-called demon Ritrasura. But as we will find out later, that this demon or this Ritrasura was actually not a demon. He was a great devotee, and actually he was a pure devotee. He was much more advanced than the demigods himself. So, in order to attain their goal, namely to stay in heaven in an undisturbed situation and get rid of this Ritrasura, they had to kill actually a Vaishnava, or have to fight against a Vaishnava, and this was actually also a great problem, also great offense. So, but in this way we can see that demigods, or those who are perform motivated or mixed devotional service, that this is not, such devotional service is not pleasing completely Krishna, because devotional service who is not pure is not to the highest benefit of all the living entities, because some other living entities who are also innocent or may also be devotees of the Lord, they have to suffer. But on the other hand, when we are engaged in pure devotional service and when we are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, with other words, it's said that those who are engaged in pure devotional service, they manifest six symptoms six special symptoms that they are engaged in pure devotional service. It said they accept everything what is favorable for devotional service, to making spiritual progress, and they reject everything what is unfavorable. And then they completely depend on the mercy of Krishna. Another is that they have full faith that Krishna will protect them in all circumstances and will give them without asking Krishna for protection. When they are completely engaged in serving Krishna, in order to please Krishna, then Krishna will protect and maintain them. And another symptom is that they have no other desire than the Supreme Lord, or his representative, the spiritual master. And the sixth one is that they are always very humble and meek. Or how do you say? Meek. Yeah, humble and meek. So, these symptoms, we could see in this so-called demon Ritrasura, when he was fighting against against the demigods, and the demigods was fighting against him like anything. Then there was a heavy battle between Indra and Dhritarasura, and Indra was not able to defeat him, and so and Indra was giving up the fight already, and then Dhritarasura, we can see that he is a pure devotee, he encourages Indra and told him the desire of Krishna. First of all, that Krishna is on the side of the demigods, and therefore they when they have Krishna on their side, they should fight, and victory is assured. Victory is assured, and especially also Indra gets a special weapon who is who was produced under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this thunderbolt from the bones, thunderbolts from the bones of Dadichi Muni, who had also to sacrifice his body so that that the demigods can become victory and can enjoy life. Sorry about the words. The demigods, especially Indra, they have many other living entities, even Vaishnavas and great Munis, they have to to offer their body, had to suffer more or less. Of course, they like to do this because then they understood that this is the desire of the Supreme Lord. Also, Dhritarasura, he understood it's the desire, or the plan of Vishnu that demigods attain victory, and he will be killed, because he understood that he knew from himself that he is actually devotee, but somehow he had to accept this body of a great demon, this demoniac, body form, and so he was very eager to get rid of this useless body of a demon, because it was not so practical to render loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord in this ugly body. He looks like a monster. We have pictured in the sixth canto how he looks, a horrible person, and so therefore he was encouraging and preaching. He preached completely to very very strong to Indra that he should take up his thunderbolt and fight against him like anything in order to attain victory, and he should kill him. And he was remembering him that he is empowered by Krishna and he is protected by Krishna, and it's Krishna's plan, and he should do his duty, and so we can see then also before Dhritarasura, when he in his last lifetime he was King Chitraketu, and then he got cursed from Parvati to become a demon, but King Chitraketu, because he was a pure devotee, he was not disturbed. On the other hand, we can see when the demigods, when there is danger that they are becoming thrown out from the heavenly planets, or down, how you say, from the heavenly planets, they become in great anxiety, and then immediately they ran to Vishnu for protection, for help, and because they understand in this way they cannot enjoy anymore. They have not anymore these nice facilities. On the other hand, we can see very clearly the difference from the mixed devotees like the demigods and the pure devotees like Chitraketu. When he got cursed, that he had to become a demon, he was not disturbed. He was accepting this curse, was more or less laughing about this. And then Parvati was completely bewildered. And then Lord Shiva, he spoke this very famous verse about the pure devotee, about Chitraketu, or as we have it here now, about Vritrasura, this famous Sankirtan verse actually, and Narayana Para Sarvena Kutashtana Vipyati Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Api Tuliyati Tuliyata Darshan Tashina. And this verse, Shiva says that the pure devotee, he doesn't mind if he's on the heavenly planets, on the middle planets, the earthly planet, or the lower planets, on the hellish planets. With other words, he doesn't mind if he's in heaven or in hell. He has only one interest. He has only one desire. He's only concerned to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On this we could see Vritrasura was completely not shocked or disturbed or was lamenting like anything when he got cursed. He was accepting this curse and still remembered Krishna and was ready to accept the role, or the plan of Krishna and his role in this plan. So the plan was in this big fight that he get killed and Indra becomes victory, and he knew this because this thunderbolt was produced by the order of Vishnu. So he accepted this, and he encouraged Indra, now go on, fight, so that I get rid of this useless body, and you can go to heaven and joy there. But I will go, and when I get rid of this body, I will go to Vaikuntha Loka, to the supreme abode. And he knew this completely. He had full faith. On the other hand, we can see that the demigods, they have not the desire to get rid of their material body and come out of this material world and enter Vaikuntha Loka, because they have all these facilities and everything is nice and fine. But those who are really intelligent, they know that this material world is a useless place. There's always troubles, even on the heavenly planets, as we can see here. So those who are really intelligent, they strive for pure devotional service. They are not attached at all in this material world. And they knew by performing devotional service, then Krishna will take care of them, will protect them, will inspire them, and will supply them with transcendental happiness. And when Krishna desires, then he will bring such devotees or the pure devotees back to the spiritual abode, and they depend in this way. They depend completely on Krishna. So, on the such devotees who perform unalloyed devotional service, who are pure devotees, we can see when they are here in the material world, all people who came in contact with them or who receive get their association, they are benefited, and we can see that such people who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, that Krishna is engaging them in this pure devotional service, especially to propagate this Sankirtan movement, namely the process of making spiritual advancement to attain perfection of life and go back to the Supreme Lord. With other words, Krishna empowers such pure devotees, such unmotivated, unalloyed devotees. And so we can see when there is only one or two or a few such devotees on the planet, then it becomes such a planet or the whole world becomes very auspicious, because through their influence and power and preaching, they attract many new devotees who are also ready to perform unalloyed devotional service to attain perfection of life. And so when those devotees, or with other words, most of the members of this Krishna conscious movement take shelter to the lotus feet of such pure devotees, with other words, to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and try to assist him and serve him, then together these pure devotees and with their disciples and followers, the whole world becomes benefited like anything, and the Sankirtan movement is spread automatically all over the world, especially when the disciples these devotees, they have only one interest. As we pray every day in the morning, we have only one desire, to spread the Sankirtan movement, to increase the Sankirtan movement all over the world, to increase devotees, to increase Prabhupada's book distribution. This is actually a pure desire, a completely transcendental desire. And such devotees, we can see, they do not pray to Krishna, please let me distribute in those in the heavenly place where there is no troubles, where everything is nice, where the people are nice and friendly and there are no demons. No, we can see a real Sankirtan devotee, he goes everywhere. He goes to hell, he goes to heaven. Right now, in this present age, especially in this demoniac society here in the Western country, we can understand, or we should understand, that this is already the hell. We don't have we should not have fear that we have to go to hell, because we are already preaching in hell. We coming from the hell, and then we come to temple, and then we spiritual master and devotees that train us to become strong, fixed devotees learning in philosophy, and then we read the books of Srila Prabhupada, we live the books of Srila Prabhupada, and then what else is to do? Then Krishna's desire, Krishna's plan, and Krishna's plan is that all the people all over the world should receive the books of Srila Prabhupada. And so the devotees that go out, even in hell, in these hellish cities, in these hellish conditions, to meet these contaminated, completely polluted, sinful people, they approach them and give them this transcendental knowledge, give them the holy name, inspire them, inform them about their situation in this material world, especially in this Kali Yuga, this hellish life with no happiness whatsoever, and inform them that they are completely suffering, and in the future they will suffer even more and more when they go on like this with this irresponsible activities. And so this way they inform them, and when people became a little humble and attentive, or something like this, then the devotees, they become very merciful, and the devotees preach to them, encourage them that they should become devotees, help them to understand the books of Srila Prabhupada, invite them to the temple, and so on and so on. So for this we can see that in order to become an expert Sankirtan devotees, or a good tool in the hand of Krishna and the spiritual master, we have to strive not for the qualities of the demigods. That's not sufficient in general. We have to strive for the qualities of Ritrasura, of Chitraketu, of course, of the pure devotee, who have no other desires than to serve Krishna in all circumstances. And we can see such devotees, they have no problems. Krishna maintains them, Krishna takes care of them, Krishna protects them, inspires them, like anything. And they can go on and on like anything. The only point is, such devotees, especially when they took birth in this demoniac society, in a sinful families, completely low class families, and are affected with so many bad habits, they have to be careful in order to fall not back again. It's stated also in the fifth canto we read 1 or 2 days before, that the problem is many devotees or many people who are suffering in the material world, they understand their situation, and then they're looking for some spiritual process, and then mostly they are because they have fear of death, and they somehow they feel or understand they have to do something more. Then in most cases they run into the fangs or clutches of vultures and crows. That means these pseudo gurus, yogis, and swamis. And so they become cheated again. But then some of these people who understand that they are completely cheated, they somehow by good fortune then come to into the association, get an association of devotees, of Krishna, with these, they learn about or become familiar with the Hare Krishna movement and Hare Krishna people. They become maybe devotees, bhaktas, even they become initiated. But then Srimad Bhagavatam says, not Prabhupada in the purport, that unfortunately many of them they are not able to continue this process because they have so many bad habits from the past. It's not that they will fall back but very often it happens that they fall back, and therefore the point is we have to be very careful about this. And this is possible when we chant Krishna's holy name constantly, and serve Krishna's holy name constantly. And this is only possible when we have the right attitude. Trinadabhi sunichina tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina mananilena kirtaniya sadahari. With other words, we have to be very humble and very tolerant, and must be ready to offer obeisance to all the others, and do not accept respect for us. And what's the last one? In this way, it's possible with this attitude, when the devotees feel themselves nothing special, and they're very humble, and they understand their situation before and now, and in this way they are able to chant the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, constantly. And so when we chant the holy name with not too much offenses, then we become very much purified, very quickly purified. And then when we become purified, we understand that we are not this body. And the point is, Prabhupada says in one purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's, you can only be humble when you understand that you are not a body. And you can only understand that you are not a body but spirit soul when you chant Hare Krishna. And therefore this is a cycle. With other words, when you chant very good Hare Krishna, then you understand that you are not a body, and then you can then you will become very humble. You become able to chant the holy name in a very submissive and very humble way. And then you become more purified. You understand more and more that you are not the body. You are an eternal servant of Krishna. And so on, to become more humble. And in this way it goes on. So, therefore the only way for us is to go in the footsteps or take this advice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Lila, there are all these great personalities like Haridas Thakur, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Although they were so learned and exalted personalities, pure devotees, they descended directly from Goloka Vrindavan. Especially Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, we know they are each one of the Sakis. Rupa Manchari, Rupa Goswami, for instance, he's Rupa Manchari in Goloka Vrindavan. But we can see their example, although of course they take birth in the material world, they had some association with the Mlechas, Yavanas, with these Muslims, but they came from, they took actually high birth in Brahmana family, but still we can see that they always remained very humble. They do not never think themselves that they are something special, or they are somehow advanced in spiritual life. Nothing like this. And therefore, we should go completely in their footsteps. For them, of course, wie sagt man, die haben es nicht nötig. For them, it was not necessary to behave like this, but I gave the example, and after all, it's the quality of a Vaishnava to be humble and meek. But for us, we are completely low class. We came from low class family, and we was completely degraded and detached. We are, we have still some attachments, and therefore we have good reason. It's very angebracht. It's very appropriate that we feel have this humble attitude, especially in the presence of the spiritual master, the pure devotee. And in this way we can receive instructions from him and can become guided from the spiritual master. And when we have this attitude and still do something practical, whatever we are able to do, we try to do as good as possible, then spiritual master becomes very much pleased, and the spiritual master and Krishna, they help us to come up and offers to us some service. They make this arrangement that we can serve Krishna. We can distribute books of Srila Prabhupada. We can preach and so on. So, therefore, in conclusion, we can say, when we want to go on with this yagya, with this yuga dharma, with this sankirtan yagya, who will bring us individual and collective back to Goloka Vrindavan, we have to strive for these good qualities, and we have to take all the facilities who are offered by Krishna, by the spiritual master, by the devotees, and follow this process very sincerely. And also we should be ready to accept some austerities, some tapasya, because in order to make spiritual progress, it's a standard, or it's necessary that we have to perform some austerity, some tapasya. Otherwise, it's very difficult. But for us, the austerity and tapasya is to restrain completely from sinful activities, follow the four regulative principles, chant always the 16 rounds, give all bad association that means association from non-devotees up completely, and also the real tapasya is to go out on Sankirtan as many hours of the day as possible, and try to present Prabhupada's books to all the innocent people, the conditioned souls, for their eternal benefit and for the satisfaction of Krishna. Okay. So, question? One or two?
Well, is there a practical relationship on Sankirtan between humility and boldness? On one hand, we're supposed to be bold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this again, we gave in the Sankirtan meeting the story of the servant disciple of Narad Muni. She was very humble, but in order to go on with spiritual life, especially when you live in the demoniac society, you have to be somehow bold, especially when you want to preach. Then of course a devotee, he's always very humble, and goes not tells not to other people you are in Maya, you should also be engaged in Krishna service and so on. But in this way they cannot preach. I remember, maybe I've heard Matsya Das, this was a devotee from Yugoslavia, but he left the body, left this world, he left the material world, he gave up the body. 83 or 84 at Radhakunda, at Chamasami, during the Hare Krishna Kirtan. He was translating the Yugoslavian Bhagavad Gita, and he was in Zurich. Bhagavad Gita also. And then he was in Zurich working in the BBT, and he was so humble, you cannot imagine. He was serving to the new bhaktas, he even take their underwears and was with the iron. I remember completely extreme. And then he was waking up the bhaktas with this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from I think Bhima Mangala Thakur, Madhuram, know this verse. He was waking them up, and so he was. But then once he went on to Austria for the Christmas marathon on Sankirtan, and then he had the books on his hand, and then he was approaching people and, you know, like this, very humble and pleased, and so he almost paid full dandavat in front of them, and then approached them and tried to give them books and this. But of course he was it was not the right place for him. So with other words, it's okay to be humble and meek, but with this external humility, it's not practical in this world. But the point is, real humility is when you accept the order of your spiritual master, and when you do not deviate, you do not concoct anything else, and you do not speculate, maybe like this it's better, or we can do like this, or I should do that. When you accept the instructions of the spiritual master, the mission of your spiritual master, and you try hard to do this, this is real humility. And after all, when you approach people, they are not so much inspired when you sneak like and become so humble. They won't see some, as we discussed in the Sankirtan meeting, you remember, he was that, yeah, they like to see some action, some power, some dynamic person, so, and then they are, in this way they are impressed. Of course, maybe when you are in India and other countries and other places in India, then you go more like this, which sounds very respectful. But here, when you do like this, then the people, they run over your face, walk over your nose. Here you have to go. However, still in a serving spirit, then the people, they will feel that this person, he does not want anything from me. He has something special, and he's inspired to distribute, to give me something special. But they feel served from the person, but somehow they are attracted and impressed. With other words, you can only be humble when you are surrendered to Krishna, surrendered to spiritual master, and this will manifest especially while engaging in preaching activities. The people there will find out, they will tell you if you are humble or not. You will see. When you are artificially humble, then the people there will finish you completely, even when you are so-called humble. When you are puffed up, they will finish you, they will smash you. But when you are somehow surrendered to the spiritual master and you are humbled by, as we described, to carry out the order of the spiritual master, pushing forward the mission, then the people somehow they will accept you and tolerate you, and especially Krishna will protect you. And even when there are nasty people or demonic persons, Krishna will guide you, that you go around or these people go around you, or even when you meet such people, then Krishna will tell them, take it cool, take it easy, he's a nice guy. And on the other hand, when you may approach very respectable, peaceful person, but when you are not Krishna conscious, that Krishna will arrange that this person will become nasty, or he will not treat you nice. So with other words, Krishna trains you on the street to become humble, to become his devotee. So in order that you can become his pure servant, can become happy in life and can go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, for Sankirtan, this practical service, spreading the mission, is the best training in all the fields to attain the good qualities of a Vaishnava. We have the only one, the only qualification we must have, that we have to go on and tolerate sometimes this and that, and ready to take a little tapasya. But simultaneously, there's so much nectar. Something else?
Also, you quoted Satyananda Swami.
Me? In this class?
No.
He says nothing. Something else? English, otherwise you can in English, no problem. I also try to speak English.
And if you approach people in the street, they always reject you. But how you can do this, that you have a
lock.
They have a lock, first, they have a lock, and how you can open the lock.
Crack the lock.
Crack the lock when you're inside, you know, then it's a bit difficult because crack the lock.
Yeah, I understand. Anyway, for this you have to depend completely on Krishna. When you are attached, then it becomes difficult to go in. Sometimes you can see you approach people and they go, you're not able to approach, and especially new bhaktas, they make this experience. Sometimes they stand for 2-3 hours in the street, and people zoom. And the point is, when you are a little attached, and you become disturbed, or you become tired, or weak, or you're to stop people, you need also a lot of mental power. And then when you become tired, then it becomes more difficult, because we have to, in order to stop people or approach people and stop them and arrange that they will listen to you and reach out their hand and take the book, or at least open the hand, you will give it anyway. You don't have to act like this. At least I have to open the hand. The point is, you have to be very aufmerksam und wachsam.
Attentive.
Wakeful. Awake and attentive. Attentive. Yeah. And you have to be very concentrated and very sharp, and you have to, you must have a good Unterscheidungsvermögen, discrimination ability. But anyway, yeah, the best thing is these are really high qualities that we mostly not have. Therefore, the best thing is to depend on Krishna and say, anyway, I go on, I try my best, please Krishna, let me distribute some books. Or actually, this prayer, let me distribute some books, is always somehow contaminated. But when you pray, Krishna, these books are so wonderful, and you all these people, they should get this book, otherwise there is no hope for them. Or you pray, this situation is complete hopeless. This place is so passionate. People, they are so there's no hope. There's no hope for them to stop them to enter directly hell. So therefore, the only one who can do here in this situation and this place something, only you can accomplish here anything. Therefore, please greife ein. How is it? No, it's a special word in English. Interfere. How is it?
Intervene.
Intervene. You pray like this, and with other words, in this prayer you gave up. Gave up not the service, not the endeavor, but you gave up you gave up and you accept you are not a doer. Krishna, only Krishna is the real actor, and I'm the tool. You say in this prayer, this realization is going on while you're praying like this to Krishna. Then Krishna is very satisfied, because such a prayer cannot be contaminated or impure mostly. But then when you gave up and still go on with the service, but gave up what? Your attachment and your own so-called art of distribution or stopping the people, then Krishna says, yeah, this is my devotee, because somebody is a devotee when he depends on Krishna, he remembers Krishna, that's his devotee, and Krishna's business is to reciprocate, to serve a devotee and help him out of this situation, especially when he has no other desires than to serve him in the most wonderful way. What was actually the question? And also, of course, when you do like this, when it's said you still have to go on, but you have to surrender to Krishna and say, please help me, or please give this, although today I have such a bad conscience and I'm so attached, I'm so fruity, no books goes out, but then you pray to Krishna, let these people anyway have the books of Srila Prabhupada, therefore in order to accomplish this I have to distribute, or you have to empower me, engage me in this service, I have to become the tool of this, and for doing this then I become in the future more and more purified, in the future I can also render pure devotional service to you.
Yes.
So this attitude must be there. But in order to go on with give up and go on and stop the people, you have to do something. In the same way when Arjuna or Kshatriya, who is fighting for Krishna on the battlefield, he sees this so tough, the opposing army, the enemies, they are so strong, but he then in this way he surrenders to Krishna. With other words, he gave up linked up with Krishna, but he goes on with fighting, and he goes not on with fighting in a, how do I say, in a weak way, or how do I say, yeah, something like this. He goes on with full determination, and when he understands, now I could remember Krishna and I could pray to Krishna, I could depend on Krishna, then this gives him new enthusiasm. In the same way, when we pray to Krishna on the street and depend on Krishna, then we can feel immediately that Krishna illuminates us and gives us power and shakti, and then we go to the next person. And then when this person goes next, then we are not goes away, then we are not attached, and then next, and so in this way we lose not power. And then in this, when Rini Sutta also explains this in this way, that I was also before I was explaining this point, when people always walk over you, over your face, then you become weaker and weaker and weaker, and you are all, and you especially when you say, useless guy and this and that, yeah. And then you lose so much energy and power, and it becomes worse and worse. On the other hand, when you are completely detached, you try your best, you approach people, then with other words, you are fully engaged in devotional service, although not any books goes out, people do not stop, but still you serve in Krishna, you try your best. And then Krishna, who is seeing the whole situation, he sees this, and then he understands, he needs more shakti. And then somehow you can build up your shakti, and then at a certain point you have enough shakti and enough power, and then you can stop the person. And then when you give them, present them the books in a nice way, give them some books, like no change up or this or that, in a nice way, correct way, then this again inspires you more and more, because you pleased Krishna by this, and then Krishna is pleased, and you are also very pleased, and you become very enthusiastic and inspired, and then you leave the person, and then while you say have a nice day, this and that, the person turns away and walks away. But mostly when you distribute on the street, the next person who walking near to you or are in front of you, some person, they see the situation that there are two persons with books in the hand. One has so many books in the hand, and the other has so many books. And then see that they have a friendly relation, and they are both happy and enthusiastic. Some they cannot einordnen, how you say. They see that it's completely special, this expression on their faces is not something like this monkey laughing from the sense enjoyment. It's something special, and that people, they are attracted by seeing these two faces, especially the face of the devotees and also the other who is completely in ecstasy, who get the mercy. And then mostly then you turn. Sometimes I calculate like this. I speak with the person, and then I see the next person is coming, and then I let them leave them, let them go, and then go right to the next person. Then this person, I see, they are both happy, this person has a lot of books, and the other is going away with all some books. Therefore, it's natural also to take some books, at least listen to that person, stop to listen to the person, take some books in the hand, and find out what's going on. And this way, sometimes it gives a complete chain reaction. Once, also many years ago, there was also some marathon. There was in Chur, somewhere in the mountains, Switzerland. There was in a underground parking lot, quite huge, and there was a whole line, and then of cars standing up, but there was although there was many such lines on different levels, and then the whole line, they at one point I realized all the people, they took books, and then at the end I was going looking in the cars, and then I could see in every car on the back seat it was like in sometimes so many books and sometimes 3-4 books, and then then I realized everyone, all these people, they took books, and then the next people came, they come back and changing the car, another car came in, I was approached them again and say, yeah, you see, everyone gets the books, you see into this car, you see into that car, and they think, oh yeah, okay. Of course this is most ecstatic when it's going on like this, but you have to go like in this direction. Something else? You have to stop. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam.